Leviticus 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And I want to thank you for listening in to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast today. We do appreciate the opportunity, and this is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. If you are in the area, if you are looking for a church home, maybe visiting in the area or looking for a church home, we would love for you to come and visit with us in any or all of our services. We have visitors all throughout the year, and we appreciate that, and we always try to make our visitors welcome. We have a church website, mountlebanonbc.org, that has all of our church times, address, phone number, all of those things, and then we'll give it also at the end of the radio broadcast. We are having revival this week. Revival services be going through Wednesday night, and so that's September 10th and the 11th at 7 p.m. at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That's just off of 105 South, Highway 105 South. 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And so we'd love for you to come out and be with us in revival. Brother Gary Byram is our visiting evangelist, and we appreciate Brother Byram and have known him now for about 9 years, and he's preached for us several times through the years, and we appreciate Brother Byram. So we'd love for you to come out and be with us in revival. Now, next week, Lord willing, I'm going to be at the Victory Baptist Church in Roan Mountain, Tennessee with Brother Jerry Honeycutt, and that's going to be starting on Sunday night through Wednesday night. And so if you are in the Roan Mountain, Tennessee area, we'd love for you to come out and be with us in services. Now, I believe on Sunday night, and you might want to call ahead or maybe give me a call later on this week, but I believe on Sunday night they start at 6, and then on the weeknights they start at 7. And so that's the Victory Baptist Church in Roan Mountain, Tennessee. And if you could come be with us, we would make you welcome. And if not, pray for us that the Lord would meet with us there. I want to say good morning to Noah. He's here today, and I appreciate him. Noah, how are you today?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning, and we do want to say how much we appreciate all our listeners, those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, those who listen in out of AM 690 WZAP in Bristol, Virginia, and also those in KBGT 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate our listeners and our radio stations. We are blessed to be upon, and we just thank the Lord for the way that He's made the opportunity to be on the radio. Now, last week, I sort of ran out of time. I didn't get finished with everything that I had that I was talking about, but I was talking about Israel last week. I was talking about Israel, and I intended to let that lead into the subject of Syria. We're going to try to go back and just finish up just a few thoughts from last week, and then I want to just bring out a few things today on what the Bible has to say about Syria. And I want to begin dealing in the next few weeks, Lord willing, if He continues to lead in this direction, on signs of the times, and even talking about America in the Scriptures. And we'll get into that a little bit later on, but we don't want to get ahead of ourselves today. But there are just so many what we would say signs of the times that are happening all over the globe, and we want to try to begin to deal with some of these things. I think it'll be very interesting for our listeners, and we pray that the Lord would bless that and help us. But last week we were talking about Israel, and we talked about the last four presidents that we've had. We started with Elder Bush. We talked about President Clinton. We talked about younger Bush. And then we talked about Obama just a little bit. The Bible says in Psalms 105, verse 14, and it's talking over there about Israel being the covenant people of God. And it says in Psalms 105, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. And we gave several instances where when these presidents touched the apple of God's eye, which is what the book of Zechariah calls Israel, God touched them. Each one of these presidents went out. Of course, we're still waiting on our current president to see what happens with him, but each of these others went out with shame out of office. Different circumstances were brought about, and each of them basically went out of office in shame. And I'm not going to go back over last week's, but it is on the church website if you would like to listen to that. But another scripture that we gave was Obadiah chapter, or there's only one chapter, but verse 15. It says, "For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head." And the context is how the heathen nations treat the nation of Israel. And God said there in verse number 15, "As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head." And the teaching in the book of Obadiah, one of the lessons that we learn over there, is what you do to Israel, or however you treat the nation of Israel, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. Whatever you do to them, it will come back upon you. Now, America historically has been the best friend of all the nations to the nation of Israel. We were the first to recognize the nation of Israel in 1948. We have stood with Israel. We have helped Israel. We have helped them with our technology. We've been a friend to Israel down through the years, or were a friend to Israel. That might be a better way to put it now, until about the last 20 years. And in the past 20 years, going back to George H.W. Bush, our policy and our actions toward Israel have changed dramatically, and especially in the last 5 or so years since President Obama has been in office. Everything that he has done since the beginning of his presidency has only shown to the Muslim world, the Muslim Brotherhood, it has only shown his favoritism towards them, and then his antagonism towards the nation of Israel. Many of you may remember back last year, I believe it's been about a year ago, where President Obama was speaking to Sarkozy, the prime minister of France. I think he's the prime minister or the president. I can't remember which one they call him. But anyway, it was called on an open mic that he said about Benjamin Netanyahu. He said, "If you think you don't like him, I have to deal with him every day," and just very derogatory towards the nation and the leadership of Israel. I found an article last week, and it was on September the 2nd, which was a Monday, September the 2nd, and it was put out by the Associated Press. The title to the article said this: "Israeli leader ready for any possible scenario." And in that article, just one little paragraph, it said Cabinet Minister Naftali Bennett, and this is an Israeli cabinet minister, posted on his Facebook account Saturday evening that the international stammering and hesitation about Syria prove once again Israel cannot depend on anyone except for itself. This is the predicament that Israel is in the world today. No longer can they say that America is going to be there acting in their best interests. They do not have that assurance. They do not have that belief. And so this cabinet minister makes this statement: Israel cannot depend on anyone except for itself. Obadiah, verse number 15, says, "As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head." Psalms 105:14 said, "Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes." And so Israel realizes that they must be prepared to go it alone. If there was a war were to break out in the Middle East, Israel has to be prepared that they have to go it alone. They can no longer depend or just they cannot assume that America is going to always be a friend, be there to help them, be an ally in that region of the world. So they have to be prepared to go it alone. Israel, sadly, does not have a true friend as an ally in the whole wide world. And along the lines of what I was pointing out in the book of Obadiah and Psalms 105, I believe it's ironic that Israel doesn't have a friend in the world. Well, do you know what? America really does not have a true friend in the world. We are in the same boat as Israel. They don't have a true friend, a true ally. We do not have a true friend, a true ally in the world. It said in Obadiah, "As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee." I think about the predicament of our president, of President Obama. He cannot get any other nations. He cannot get a coalition together. He cannot get any other nations to get on board to bomb Syria. He is just made up in his mind that this is what must be done, even though all the facts are not in. And it looks like the leader of Russia has more sense and has more leadership than the United States of America. But we cannot go get the United Kingdom to go along with us. They said, and I don't think they should. I think it's a terrible idea. But anyway, our country cannot get anybody to get on board and go along with what our leadership wants to do. The United Kingdom said at first, "Well, we're on board. We're with you. We're going to go along." And then they came back after they said they would. Then they came along and said they wouldn't. And you cannot get any of the other nations in the world. Obama does not have the support of Congress on this bombing of Syria. He does not have the support of the Senate to go along. He does not have the support of the American people to go along with him on this idea of bombing and retaliating towards Syria. I even seen a headline last night that said Michelle says no. Now, I didn't have time to read the whole thing, but I just thought that was interesting. I wonder if that's true, that even his wife thinks that it's a bad idea that we would go and bomb Syria. Now, I want to say some things today about Syria. It's very interesting what's going on in the Middle East, and the Bible has a great deal to say about Syria. Now, over the past weekend, in the USA Today, which is one of the largest remaining newspapers in the United States of America, a daily newspaper, the USA Today, and over this past weekend, the Sunday edition, which I would suppose is the largest edition that they put out, September the 9th, 2013, the author was J.D. Gallup, and it originally appeared in Florida Today, but they put it in the Sunday edition of the USA Today. And it said, "Some see biblical visions of doom in Syria trouble." And one author I was reading after said there was more about prophecy in that newspaper article than you could find in the average church throughout the United States of America. But I read the article. It was a fairly good, fair article of what the Bible says. And of course, you know, you look at something like that, there's always little things you could pick out. But overall, it was a pretty good article dealing with Syria and what the Bible says about what is going to happen in Syria, specifically Damascus. Of course, that is the headquarters of Assad in the country of Syria. Now, there are basically two passages of Scripture in the Old Testament that deal with the subject of Damascus. And I'm going to give you these. You can look at them later and read in the Bible yourself. I will not have time to go over all of these verses. That would take quite some time. But Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter number 17. So if you want to read later on, write that down. Isaiah chapter number 17. And then Jeremiah chapter number 49. Now, chapter number 49 is a long chapter, but Damascus is dealt with in verses 23 through verse number 27. And so Isaiah 17 and Jeremiah chapter number 49. Now, this newspaper article mentioned Isaiah chapter 17, verse number 1. I'm going to read it for you out of the King James Bible. The Bible says, "The burden of Damascus," of course, that being the capital of Syria, "the burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap." So Isaiah prophesies about Damascus. He says it shall be taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. Now, Damascus is one of the oldest cities in the world. It is first mentioned in the book of Genesis, chapter number 14, in the days of Abraham. And so Damascus has been around 4,000 plus years. You can go to Google Maps and you can type in Straight Street. I suppose you can do this. I've done this in the past year. Straight Street is where the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He was blinded by a light, and they carried him into the street called Straight. You can Google that today, and you can find that on Google Earth Maps or Google Maps, and you can zoom in on Straight Street in Damascus. So Damascus is one of the most ancient cities in the world. It is one of the most mentioned in the Bible. It is not the most mentioned, but it is mentioned many, many times in the Bible. I think over 60 times Damascus is mentioned, and then Syria is mentioned many times as well. But according to Isaiah chapter 17, Damascus will be destroyed. It's never been completely destroyed and uninhabited before, but the Bible says it shall become a ruinous heap and be taken away from being a city. Now, I found a very interesting verse in Jeremiah chapter 49. Verse number 25 says about Damascus, "How is the city of praise not left, the city of my joy?" And I thought that was very interesting that the Bible describes Damascus as the city of praise. How is the city of praise not left, the city of my joy? I did some study about Damascus and found out that throughout history, it has been one of the most beautiful cities in the world. Its situation, its geographic location, from what I was reading, old descriptions of the city of Damascus said that when you first came to the mountain and you could look out and see the city, that it looked like a magnificent city surrounded by a forest. And evidently it's just a beautiful, beautiful city and one of the most ancient cities in the world. But why would the Bible call it the city of my joy? And the only explanation that I could even give today is that, according to the Bible, it is part, Syria, Damascus, is part of that covenant land that God promised to Abraham. God made a covenant with Abraham about the land. That land that is being disputed over today and divided up and called for a Palestinian state and an Israel, a state for Israel, and dividing Jerusalem and all of these things. The book of Joel chapter 3 verse number 2 says that God will judge the nations that parted my land. That land is not up for negotiation by man. God gave that land to Abraham, and then later on he reconfirmed the covenant with Isaac and Jacob. So the Jewish people, that is specifically the Jewish people, and that Syria, Damascus, is part of that covenant land. Genesis 15 verse 18, for example, says, "In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." Now the river in Egypt is the Nile River. That goes all the way down into Egypt. If you get a Bible and you go to the maps in the back, if you've got a good study Bible, most of them have the travels of Abraham. And you'll notice over there, and I think it's Genesis 13 or Genesis 17, that God told Abraham, he said, "Wherever the sole of your foot touches," God said, "I will give you that land." And you'll find that Abraham was quite the walker. I mean, he went all over that land from the Ur of the Chaldees. And the Ur of the Chaldees, that's where he started out. That is all the way over next to, it's in the east of the Middle East, the Ur of the Chaldees. It's all the way over to next to the Persian Gulf at the southern tip of the Euphrates River. And then, of course, you also know that he traveled all the way down into Egypt. He traveled as far north as Hamath, which is modern-day Lebanon, above that. And if you drew a straight line across over to the Euphrates River from the Great Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, all the way over to the Euphrates River, it is just a huge, huge swath of land that God promised unto Abraham. And you can see that also in Ezekiel chapter number 48. We don't have time to go to all these places, but that promise to Abraham takes in Syria and Damascus. Now, I was studying over in Isaiah chapter number 17, and there is a warning over there. Why would Christians, why would Bible students, why would students of Bible prophecy be concerned about our presence and what we do in the country of Syria? Well, I could give several political reasons why we should not be involved in a civil war in Syria. Number one, we have no constitutional authority to do this. Syria is not an imminent threat to the United States of America. Number two, all the facts are not even in. We've fallen for this before when George Bush was president, and he was on and on about there's weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. We've got to attack Iraq. We've got to go into Iraq. Well, they went in. They never found the WMDs, but they were sure that they were there, and they sold that lie to the American people. Well, Russia, Assad, a lot of these countries say, you can't blame this. They say the rebels done it. Well, the rebels are the people that we've been at war with, many of them, for the past 20 years. Al-Qaeda, they were over there. Now, Mr. Obama's not said anything about the rebels and the Muslim Brotherhood in Syria and how they are persecuting Christians, burning churches, threatening to behead Christians if they don't convert to Islam. Is this who we're going to support? Well, there's many, many things we could bring out why it's a bad idea for us to get involved in Syria. But more than that, there is a warning in the scripture about the nations that would be involved in the destruction of Syria. Isaiah chapter 17 and verse number 13. And I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Verse 13 says, "The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind." Verse 14 says, "And behold, at evening tide trouble, and before the morning he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and the lot of them that rob us." Now, it's interesting, if you have done any homework about Syria and what is at stake over there, and you know anything about past wars and what has been accomplished in many of these countries, it is exactly like it says in verse number 14. There is a spoiling of that nation. There is a robbing of that nation. And we could talk about our involvement. It's hard for me to talk about America doing wrong, but America is not always right. And there's so much money involved in war making and going to war, and knowing what we know, what the Bible says about money, the love of money is the root of all evil. And there's been this spoiling, this robbing of other nations for their natural resources. So, in summary, what we're saying in Isaiah chapter number 17, I would encourage you to go over there and read and study it for yourself. It is going to happen, what the Bible says about Damascus in Isaiah 17 verse 1. "Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap." Now, if you read and study all of this chapter, Israel has to be in the land for this to happen, because it talks about Israel upon the mountains of Ephraim. And so this is not something that could have happened during the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth century AD. This has to be something that takes place while Israel, the nation of Israel, is back in the land. If you know anything about world history, you know Israel was out of the land after the destruction of Jerusalem in 64 AD. They did not come back into the land until the late 1800s. They were not established as a nation and recognized as their own nation until 1948. So this destruction of Damascus has to take place when Israel is back in the land. But it is going to happen. But the warning is for the nations that are involved in this, that there is going to be, according to verse 13, "But God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off." This is the nations that are involved in the destruction of Syria. And that is what we're talking about, sparking something in the Middle East that destroys a nation. And it said in verse 14, "And behold, at evening time, trouble is going to come to the nation." So I have written my senators, I have written my congressmen, I have encouraged them to stay out of Israel. There's been much outcry, or not out of Israel, out of Syria. There's been much outcry about this, and I would encourage you to do the same. Psalms 122 verse 6 says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee." You say, what can we do? We can pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We can be a voice against that which is wrong and for that which is right. The Bible said, "They shall prosper that love thee." And so I appreciate you listening in today. I hope and pray that you know Christ as your personal Savior. We're going to let Noah come and give the contact information. Thank you for listening today.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that is located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.